are listening to Lightly on the Ground Radio, either at WRIR 97.3 LP FM or worldwide at www.wrir.org. At any time, you can listen at radioforall.net. Search for shows by Sunny Gardner. We are exploring our food system, a large and flexible subject which reaches from a seed in a farmer's hand to a bill in the hands of those making policy on the national and worldwide front. While we're talking local, the ideas are pertinent to any food system. The Food and Nutrition Information Center of the USDA National Agricultural Library says a food system includes everything from farm to table. Mark Schoenbeck is our guest in the studio at Epic Gardens, where we're taping today because it's urgent that this information be broadcast soon. You may hear a dog bark or a rooster crow in the background. Dr. Schoenbeck is a scientist and writer with expertise in organic vegetable production and in organic soil and weed management. He edits and produces the highly informative Virginia Biological Farmer. That is available at vabf.org. Mark Schoenbeck represents Virginia on the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. I've invited him to help clarify the debate over the Senate Bill 510, the Food Safety Modernization Act. Part of the problem is ill-informed obstructionism. However, there are a number of substantive issues within the bill which are debatable. These issues have to do with how our food is handled from farm to table. The act was heartily endorsed by the Senate in a bipartisan vote of 73-25 and will be addressed by the House very soon unless it is killed because of a parliamentary mistake. The United States Constitution says that taxes originate in the House of Representatives. This bill originated in the Senate. I am not clear on what the tax part has to do with it, but the progress of the bill could be obstructed because of it. You may want to visit the coalition at sustainableagriculture.net. That's all one word, sustainableagriculture.net, to become more informed about the subject. I invited Mark to speak with us today because of his work with the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition. He has studied this difficult and complex subject and understands the various controversies and what they mean to producers and to consumers. Thank you for coming, Mark Schoenbeck.
Thank you for having me on your program today.
Yeah. So tell us the intent of this Bill 510, the Food Safety Modernization Act.
Basically, the intent is to give the Food and Drug Administration greater authority to regulate and oversee the safety of our food supply. And this bill does focus quite specifically on microbial foodborne illness. That's the things like E. coli, O157, H7, and Salmonella, and Campylobacter. All these microbial illnesses that have really made the headlines and that tend to occur in outbreaks. There have been a number of bad outbreaks in the last 4 or 5 years, one on spinach, one that was mistakenly attributed to tomatoes when it was peppers, and the tomato industry took a real hit, and then more recent one on peanut butter that was really a big case of corporate irresponsibility.
So the problem is that people are getting sick from their food and it has to do with the handling of it?
Mostly, they're getting sick from their food because pathogens have gotten into the food itself. This can happen at any point along the food chain. It most often happens during some phase of processing, although research has shown that it can happen on the farm if manure is not handled correctly or if the farm's irrigation water supply is contaminated, especially if it's contaminated from effluent from the manure of concentrated animal feeding operations, which is often very much beyond the control of the produce farmer downstream.
Uh-huh.
So it can come from the farm, and as a result, the purpose of the bill is to give the Food and Drug Administration more authority to regulate and oversee all steps in the food chain to minimize the risk.
So were these measures taken voluntarily by food producers before this?
That is correct. Even when there was evidence of an outbreak traced to a certain source, the Food and Drug Administration could not order a recall. They could not actually order a recall of those bad bags of spinach or even of that bad peanut butter. They could only strongly recommend it.
Oh, so if there were like, for example, this chicken egg outbreak where two egg farms managed to spread salmonella across a dozen states under 35 different brand names. Is that the kind of thing that it would be addressing, like to actually shut them down before it got that far? Or?
Well, in the case of eggs and meat, the USDA actually has the role of overseeing that food safety. Like this USDA inspected meat slaughterhouses, that's a lot of that's aimed at food safety.
Oh, okay.
So this is really about produce and about all other foods that are not covered by the USDA, which is limited to meat, poultry, and eggs.
Oh, okay. So the USDA does part of the regulation, and they can actually impose a shutdown or mm-hmm.
a recall.
But the FDA, who deals with the vegetables, could only suggest it.
Could only recommend.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Correct. Another thing is that we've had some food safety problems with imported foods, and this bill would also strengthen the FDA's ability to inspect and regulate what's imported into this country, hold that to the same food safety standards that we will be holding our own food.
Will we import a lot of food?
Mm-hmm.
And our net import-export thing, we actually import a lot more than we export.
Correct.
How would we possibly inspect all that food?
Well, that is going to entail some investment of tax dollars to allow FDA to hire more inspectors and other personnel to take care of all these bases. It's very true. It is going to cost a bit more. I think the bill is estimated to cost something like $1.4 billion over the next, I believe it's 5 years.
But that actually brings back the importance of being able to produce food locally so that we don't have to deal so much with importing the foods that we really have less control over.
Yeah, that's correct. And that's why it's important to move towards a win-win solution here. We want to encourage the current growth. The biggest growth sectors in our current food system in this country are organic and locally produced, and especially this emphasis on local, fresh, healthy food. And ironically, if a food safety bill, and this is getting into the controversy over S-510, there's a concern that if a food safety bill is written as a one-size-fits-all, it will really put a tremendous burden on small farms and a relatively much smaller burden on the large industrial food system.
A proportional burden.
A proportional burden. Like it might be a quarter of the budget of a small farm to comply with a one-size-fits-all type of food safety regulation, which could emerge from an earlier unamended version of the food bill.
So what is the controversy with this?
Well, the food safety legislation does raise a specter, and that is increased federal regulation. And when a small farm has to jump through extra hoops to demonstrate that their irrigation water is safe, to demonstrate that their food, that the farm workers who handle their food have the highest level of hygiene at every step, to demonstrate that the food itself is free of pathogens, and that they have gone through certain procedures to minimize risk, that can be comparatively a very large part of their budget. For example, one aspect of a food safety plan is something called a Hazard Analysis and Critical Control Points Plan, or it's called HACCP. And that is to look at the whole process. On a farm, it would be like from how the field is fertilized up through how the food is harvested and handled and prepared and then sent off the farm. For a food processing facility, it would be every aspect of the process, from how the food is brought in to how it's handled, how it's processed, how it's packaged, and then sent off to the final retailer or customer.
Mm-hmm.
So a HACCP plan on a small farm or a small food business is estimated that it would entail 100 to 150 hours of the farmer or proprietor or manager's time, plus about $9,000 to $10,000 in consultant fees annually, plus tests plus consultant fees. Now, for a small operation, that's a huge chunk of the profit margin. And for a big company like Del Monte, you know, they might spend tens of thousands, but that's a very tiny percentage of their annual gross. So it hits the small farm disproportionately. And naturally and understandably, family farmers and community food advocates are very concerned about this, because if we take a one-size-fits-all, we make everyone jump through the same set of hoops in the same way, this is going to really thwart the growth of the local food systems. And if that is cut off, then this very beneficial trend in our food system of more and more people demanding organic and or local, and more institutions like the farm to school program, schools buying locally produced healthy fresh food instead of selling, you know, having kids eat the junk food and glop that they've been eating for too many years. My guess is that if a food safety bill were passed that would severely stunt the growth, like shutting small farms out of a lot of these markets that would require the, you know, these food safety standards and shutting down some of these small businesses, I personally believe, now I don't have any scientific evidence for this, but I personally believe that, as an educated guess, the increase in morbidity and mortality from the degenerative diseases of eating poor quality food will far outweigh the number of illnesses and deaths related to microbial illness that we prevent. The House of Representatives passed a food safety bill last year that in many ways was one size fits all. There was some language in there about the FDA shall take into consideration the size and scale of the operation and try to keep its regulations compatible with organic production systems and with conservation-minded production systems and with wildlife conservation, etc., but the language is relatively weak. And the most offensive part of the House bill was a flat fee that all food facilities, which is any food business that does any kind of processing. A farm is a food facility if it processes as much as washing mixed salad greens. And it's certainly a food facility if it's selling jam. Okay, so about half of these smaller farms are food facilities because they put some value-added products out there. And every single food facility, whether it's Grandma's Blueberries marketing about $20,000 a year, or whether it's Del Monte marketing billions, pays a single flat fee of $500. So for the small business, that's a huge chunk of the profit margin again. Okay, that was the House bill. That was passed a year ago. During the this past year or so, the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, I should say the Food Safety Task Force, which was formed about 2 years ago when all the food safety legislation started, that task force within the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition has worked diligently as a team and with key members of Congress, especially key senators, in the process of developing the Senate bill to address the concerns of the small farm and the small food business and to make size appropriate and organic compatible and conservation compatible food safety bill. No, this bill is not perfect, just like no bill is ever perfect. But they have come a tremendous long way. For example, what has happened is that there have been two key amendments to this bill have been added. One was called the Manager's Amendment, and the other for a long time was called the Tester-Hagen Amendment. And actually, it has all become, just before it was passed, it all became one amendment, and that the Tester-Hagen language was modified slightly and brought into the Manager's Amendment. There's a few of these provisions that I want to share with you. In the manager's amendment, the original one, there's a provision that takes a training and technical assistance approach to helping these family farms and small food businesses develop a food safety plan rather than a surveillance and enforcement. Another one reduces the paperwork and harmonizes it with the National Organic Program and with the Natural Resources Conservation Service programs. There was some industry-initiated food safety efforts out in California called the Leafy Greens Marketing Agreement. And these entailed draconian efforts to destroy wildlife habitat and destroy buffer zones around fields in the idea of trying to isolate and sterilize the vegetable fields in the almost complete absence of evidence that the wildlife was a significant hazard. And they had 30-foot bear zones, and it was completely counterproductive, because the bear zones created dust, and the dust and allowed all kinds of airborne pathogens into the field. So not only that, but small farms couldn't comply, and mid-sized farms were watching all of their sustainable and conservation practices go out the window. One of the hopes in these food safety bills is that instead of having all these different efforts to try to convince a consumer that their food is safer, that really hurt the farm and really hurt the environment, that we have one sensible bill that mandates that the Food and Drug Administration really address the points of highest risk. An example of that would be these large fresh-cut bagged industry processors who bring in salad greens from dozens of large farms from around California, mix them all together, and then bag them up in a way that tends to create a perfect environment for pathogens. And this is how the spinach outbreak took place. Anyway, the Tester-Hagen language gives small farms an alternative to these extremely expensive HACCP plans, and also alternatives to very costly and involved produce safety procedures. These could be existing state and local food safety regulations and procedures that the farmer is already complying with, or the farm can provide FDA with evidence that they have taken satisfactory measures to ensure that their food is safe.
Well, it sounds like a really good idea to me, that and well thought out, and a lot of people have had input into it. What is the problem now? Why is it on its way to becoming national law?
Well, the hope is that it is on its way to becoming national law. The Senate did just pass it. There are a number of procedural hurdles that it needs to clear, and hopefully these can be cleared quickly. But we, at the time that I am speaking, we don't know the answer to that. The opposition comes from two opposite quarters. Some of the small farm advocacy groups, such as the National Independent Consumers and Farmers Association.
NICFA.
Uh-huh. And some others are still saying, we do not want government regulation of our farms. It's unconstitutional. It's kind of a libertarian approach.
Uh-huh.
And to an extent, it's understandable. However, these groups have put out exaggerated scenarios of what this bill would do. They're saying this bill will eliminate organic, or will put all family farms out of business, will allow the FDA to come in and snoop in your backyard garden, and et cetera, et cetera. A couple of points that are important to consider in relation to this, what I call the anti-food safety bill position. First is, there are serious food safety issues. I was surprised when I first heard this statistic, but according to the Centers for Disease Control, one quarter of Americans suffer a foodborne illness every year. Most of us just have a bad day, you know, we're out of work for a couple of days, we're sick to our stomach, and it passes. But 5,000 people do die every year, which is about, to put it in perspective, that's about one-seventh of the number of people that die on the highways every year in accidents. So that's what we have. We have a problem. And the industrial food system is responsible for the substantial majority of the problem, but it is incorrect to claim that small farms have zero risk. There is no such thing as zero risk. Even under the world's best food safety bill and the best possible regulations and the most careful stewardship by every farmer, there's no such thing as zero risk. Once in a while, there is a foodborne pathogen problem that's traced to a small farm. The most I've heard has happened a few times with small-scale dairies, where listeria was discovered in the cheese and things like that. This has happened a few times. So if the local foods system and family farm and organic movements were to oppose this bill, to stay in our opposition to the bill, as we don't want this regulation, we don't want the extra burden, and the bill goes down to defeat, and there is a significant foodborne outbreak that's traced to, you know, my little CSA or someone else's little dairy, it could really, really, really hurt the movement, because industry would be able to point at us and say, they stopped the food bill, and now look, we're having even more foodborne illness because there's no bill, there's no new regulation, there's no new FDA authority. Another point that I wanted to make is that the FDA actually already has the authority to come onto the farm and conduct surveillance and really be potentially a real concern. And this is because the Bioterrorism Act of 2002 gave FDA expanded authority. However, it did not give them a clear mandate to focus on the major points of risk, such as concentrated animal feeding operations, such as large industrial processing units that make these fresh-cut bag mixes, etc. On the one hand, the FDA could be not doing enough to protect us against real risk. On the other hand, with no clear guidance, you know, if a foodborne outbreak does get traced back to a small farm, they could be coming onto small farms And without clear guidance as to how to approach the local food system, they can be doing it in a more obtrusive and destructive and burdensome way than they would under S-510. So right now, I believe that the Food Safety Modernization Act in its current form could move us in a positive direction, both in terms of food safety and protecting the small farm. Now, this Tester-Hagen amendment that allows the small farm, specifically small farms and small businesses that make less than $500,000 gross every year, and that direct market at least half of their product, and that market all of their product either within state or within a 275-mile radius. So this is really local food system kind of stuff. What the Tester-Hagen amendment says is that these farms are exempt from direct FDA oversight if they are already meeting state and or local food safety regulations and inspections. They are already being regulated. Or they can provide the FDA with a simpler yet still effective food safety plan. This is the case. This would exempt them from the HACCP, the very costly approach. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this has led to the industry, the larger produce companies and larger farms and the ones that are pushing these leafy greens marketing agreements out west, to suddenly at the last minute, the last couple of weeks, to oppose the Senate's Food Safety Modernization Act, S-510. They say, this is opening a huge loophole, this is an exemption, this is a loophole, it's gonna completely vitiate the ability of the FDA to protect us from foodborne illness. It's just the same formula of misinformation and fear, except from the opposite end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And it's very ironic, because let me emphasize, the Tester-Hagen language is not an exemption. And in the final moments of crafting this bill, an additional clause was put in to make sure and make it clear to everyone, if a small farm does have a food safety problem, someone gets sick on their lettuce mix, or listeria is found in their cheese, that farm loses the Tester-Hagen provisions and the FDA can directly regulate or shut down as necessary that particular operation.
Well, it sounds like the Tester-Hagen amendment would actually take some of the burden off the FDA for regulating these small businesses so they could concentrate on the large ones, but then they're ready to step in if there should be an infraction that would cause that trigger to be tripped.
Exactly. That's another thing that's really important. In this day of incredible deficits and cost-cutting efforts, I think that this Tester-Hagen language increases the efficiency of what's going to come out of this in terms of tax dollars. We're not wasting tax dollars sending the FDA to routinely inspect and harass thousands and thousands of micro-entrepreneurs who are making somewhere between $5,000 and $499,000 a year gross, and instead leaving that up to the local and state authorities who are already doing this, and for those farms that are not thus regulated, finding a simpler and less expensive to everyone, to the farmer, to the taxpayer, to the FDA, way of getting that safe food. And again, there is no such thing as zero risk, but the track record of these smaller farms, especially ones that are marketing direct to the consumer. I mean, when you're marketing directly to your consumer, you're going to be doubly sure that you're not going to make that person sick. If you have any suspicion about that cheese, or you think that the manure went on that field 90 days ahead of harvest and it really should have been 120, you're likely to just plow that in as a green manure and just start over, because you do not want to make your CSA customer, your farm market customer, or the customers of your restaurant that you sell to, you don't want to have them even miss a day of work.
Really?
To this kind of thing.
So, whereas if you're a large corporation that really has lost its conscience because of its size, then you don't even know who your consumer is, who your customer is. Let's summarize and make a suggestion as to what people might do if this is a timely program. The Senate just passed S-510, the Food Safety Modernization Bill, and now it's going to go to the House. What could you say to your representative if you were going to contact your representative about this, based on the new understanding that the listener may have gotten here by listening to this talk that we've had? What would you say to your representative if you were writing him a letter now?
I would recommend simply saying that the Senate bill is really our best bet right now in terms of supporting improved food safety while continuing to support the growth of the local sustainable food systems movement, which is improving food safety in the sense of, well, it's safer to just eat more vegetables and fresh food and less junk food because you're less likely to get diabetes, you're less likely to get obese or get heart disease. And those can kill you just as surely as a really bad case of salmonella.
Well, thank you, Mark. I really appreciate your time. Now, if you wanted to learn more about this or contact Dr. Schoenbeck, I believe you can contact Dr. Schoenbeck through the sustainableagriculture.net, can't you? Aren't you?
I'm not directly linked to them, but I'm really not the best source on all the details on this, but the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition has written a very nice essay or statement on its food safety philosophy, which really takes a much broader view of it than just the pathogens. And it's also, there's a number of other specific statements that NSAC has developed to urge the Senate to pass this bill. And that was a very well-written letter that went up to the Senate. And that I would have to acknowledge the National Sustainable Ag Coalition Food Safety Task Force for making it possible for us to get a bill that's as good as this one is.
And what's that website?
Sustainableagriculture.net.
All right. I want to thank Mark Schoenbeck, scientist and writer, for sharing his time and knowledge. You may visit vabf.org and sustainableagriculture.net to follow this work about our food system. I hope you will become active. I hope you will deeply consider this legislation and become part of a solution for the hysteria that has become so much a part of the discourse in this nation about so many matters. If you're led, act on your choices by contacting your legislators, but at least participate in civil discourse about things of importance, both with those who agree and with those who do not readily agree with your opinions. I hope this is useful to you. This edition of Lightly on the Ground Radio was produced on the run at Epic Gardens. The theme music is Bonefire Dance by Rattlemouth. Join us again on the radio. Until then, walk in the light and live lightly on the ground. Thank you for listening.